It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. I'm so sad.
What? Why are you sad?
This is the last day of my vacation. I have to go home tomorrow.
And you're podcasting.
Well, I've done it a little early. But I'm already thinking, I know how I feel the last day of vacation. It's like, I've got to really milk this for all it's worth, because tomorrow I go home. And not that home's all that bad. Home's great, but gee, it's tough.
Vacation's cool.
It is cool. I'm looking forward to some time with my wife, my child, my daughter, and her husband, and those two little grandgirls.
Awesome.
We're going to have some fun and involve some swimming on the beach, involve some...
And I'm not allowed to say where.
Some golfing, and it'll involve, I think, eating.
You think?
I've lost 20 pounds over the last year, and I'll bet I'll gain 18 of them back in the next year. That's what I hate about vacation. It's that part of it. Just,
I don't think you ever lose weight. I think you just sort of drop it for a moment.
Hey, we want to remind people, Danny Silk's going to be on a podcast later in this month, probably a couple weeks from when this airs. So if you've been reading Loving Our Kids on Purpose and you've got some questions for him, we want to remind you, send those to us. So
yeah, or even if you just have general questions about parenting, it'd be fun to have some little... frustrating scenarios. What do I do with this one?
It would be that. We got a couple of questions now, but they're really broad in general. And so if you can neck those down a little bit. We heard from Jill. That was our first tackle woman, T-A-C-L.
Oh.
She said, the discussion about Danny Silk, his involvement with Bethel, caught my attention on your podcast.
Uh-oh.
Because of how you graciously handled the discussion that came from your recommending Danny Silk's book, I listened to the last podcast from Bethel entitled Beyond Familiarity. It was full of the charismatic revivalist lingo.
You're laughing.
Well, it's baggage. But anyway, she said, but I listened past that, heard some powerful truth about the value of recognizing the working of God in all kinds of people. They said something like this: everyone we receive from is imperfect. We tend to draw the line on how much imperfection we're willing to tolerate or what brand of imperfection we will tolerate. That sounds like a gracious, loving way to live, especially regarding religious folks, especially TACLs, tight-ass church lady. For now, I still go to a congregation, but as I continue living loved, it's easier to honor those who are made in the image of God without stumbling over their imperfections, to hear and accept truth from them without agreeing with everything they're involved in. Your way of handling criticism was an inspiration to us who find ourselves in similar situations. Thanks for loving like Jesus does.
That's awesome. That does have the fragrance of Father.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, too. That if you're looking for encouragement from people who live perfectly the life you want, you will never find anybody on this planet to encourage you. You're just going to get left out.
And I think the whole idea of, you know, listening past that, gosh, if we ever did that, as opposed to reactionary responses, if we listen past to what people are really saying, I think most of the silliness of the debates that go on would really fall by the wayside, and some perhaps true communication would happen. Because, I mean, I have friends from all parts of the zoo, okay?
Yeah.
I do. I really do. I mean, and they're genuine friends of mine. And it's like, this crowd knows that crowd's the devil. I'm going like, well, I know the devil. He's not really the devil.
And I've been with both crowds.
Yeah, and it's cool. Like, you know, I look at all that, and it's like, you know what? I like these people, and I like this is the emphasis that they bring, and I really appreciate that. No, I think some of their other ideas are whack, but it's like, they're still my friends.
Yeah.
And so when you look at this, when I hear both sides railing against the other, I'm just going like, you know what? You just mischaracterized their position, and you just mischaracterized their position, and both of you just propping up your own self and your own little argument, pandering to your crowd.
To demonize the opposition. You got to somehow. Yo, that's just the most bizarre thing. In fact, I was taken to a website the other day. I'm going to read you part of this. This was because someone did a a blog on me not long ago, some truth-telling website.
One of those.
Yeah, because of going down my reading list, they concluded I was a godless pantheist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And wow.
What's
your reading list?
Well, it's amazing. It's on the website. People look at recommended reading. What's interesting about the website is I don't think anybody on my website is a godless pantheist. So I don't know how they read through my recommended books going, he must be that. But they do seem to have that point of view that, who's this? Hey, Sarah's coming in. Oh, look what I had made for you today.
Fresh hot cookies?
Whoa, these are...
Wow, hot out of the oven.
Oh
my gosh, you could burn yourself on these.
Oh, man, everywhere I go, I tell you, Sarah makes the
best... Sarah, you just did something marvelous.
...chocolate chip cookies in the world.
Wow.
Thank you, darling. Thanks for bringing them up. How is it?
That's tasty.
Can you describe the taste of that thing?
No, I don't dare.
You didn't dare?
They would think I'm a godless pantheist.
Did you find God in the chocolate chip cookies?
No, but I am worshiping and enjoying his creation. Wow.
You know what?
I don't know what this has to do.
You know I love eating these chocolate chip cookies? Oh, I had them made for a reason. Don't think I didn't.
All right.
Yeah. What I love about these, I love talking about these because everywhere I go for the next few months,
everyone wants them.
People tries to outdo them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they'll go, how do these taste compared to Sarah's?
We gave up a long time ago.
So people keep making them for us, but Sarah really does. She has a fine knack for this. But I was thinking about these the other day. These came up on my trip.
These are not just ingredients. It's a how she goes about it, too.
Man, I'm telling you what. This is the best blend of fat and sugar and chocolate and eggs.
No demand.
That I know of. If there were a way, I know we're sitting here being rude, eating them in front of y'all, and we are eating them, and they are gorgeous.
Got milk?
Well, I forgot to order up milk for you. The reason I did this...
Why?
This is cool. I think I did this to a college group you had one time, but I was thinking about this. To me, the recipe Sarah has downstairs, and you could not make these without that recipe. That recipe is true. That recipe... this work.
We have that recipe. We still can't pull this off.
Well, it's another way Sarah does it. It's what she's learned over years. And she does follow the recipe.
Right.
But the things you can't put on a recipe is you beat this so long till it looks like this.
I know where you're going.
You do?
No. Good. Keep going.
Here's what I'm thinking. The recipe is scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The cookies is the life of Jesus.
Yep.
And I think I've had that analogy for a while in my head, just going, all true. I love what the scriptures say. You can't live this life without those scriptures. But if all you have is the recipe to live,
we can't still pull off the cookies.
If all you're
doing the recipe,
if all you're going to do is meet every week and talk about the recipe, I'm not coming along to what you're doing.
No, and you're also not going to talk about it.
I'd much rather sink my teeth into some of the greatest chocolate chip cookies that exist.
I think you should come up with these analogies more often. Especially in their podcast days.
And I'm sure it's that frustrating to people. I got some of this when I was in Wisconsin now, 3 weeks ago, even though I just got back yesterday. 3 weeks ago.
How'd that work?
When I was in Wisconsin. We do this time warp wormhole kind of thing here on the podcast. Yeah. So we can do these.
It is the God journey.
We can talk past and future like it was yesterday.
Star Trek.
But if you've never tasted the cookies,
you have no idea what they're talking about.
My heart goes out. I mean, if people are sitting here, I hope a little frustrated, those suckers are eating those cookies. And some of the people...
Yeah, I'm not stopping.
Some of the people... Well, that last one's mine. We had two each. Christian Fellowship ends with that cookie right there.
Grace, brother. Grace.
No, there's no grace here. I graced you by having your two.
Thank you.
We've drawn a line. No, I can understand people say, I've never tasted that. Or worse... People who have tasted them, because they've been in my home, who are now at home going, I wish I were at Sarah's house. And, you know, if you're going to get these, you got to come by. There's no way to package these and send them out, because these are fresh out of the oven.
You know, but Chips Ahoy.
Wow, that's a bad substitute.
Well, no, actually, they're going, if all you knew a chocolate chip cookie was a Chips Ahoy cookie versus this.
You don't know.
You have not experienced a chocolate chip cookie.
I'm not doing that to make people feel bad.
All you got was Chips Ahoy.
The point is, we've got to get on a journey to experience the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
Not just sit and talk about it.
Share the recipe.
And the recipe's all true. You can look at all the recipes and say, well, it includes this and it includes this. And I'll say, yes, 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 but the cookie is greater than the sum of its parts.
And I mean, I don't have any problem.
You need a tissue? You're quite a mess.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that the analogy does fall apart in terms of you try to push it to the limit. But the reality is there's something about the person of Sarah that makes them. I've had them many times, I've enjoyed them raw, you know.
I did during one of the breaks we took. I was adding the chocolate chips. That's my job.
That's great. But the reality is there is a manner to that that just following the recipe without a guide, without an experienced person that has, quote, the fragrance of Father, doesn't quite get you there. And this thing cannot be done by just book learning.
Yep.
It has to be done in the context of relationship.
Come into Sarah's kitchen.
And you too can learn to make
some days. She can tell you what she's looking for.
Yeah.
My daughter makes them the same way. My daughter has learned to do it, and she's watched many, many
episodes. Because you can misapply the recipe.
Only Sarah. Julie cooks them too long because her husband doesn't like them quite as doughy as I do. But that's his problem. Before we were so gloriously interrupted.
I was going to say, that's a good analogy.
And this actually ties into this because.
Are these analogies with steak?
We'll work on that for next time.
Okay.
If I come back from vacation,
okay.
And if we do another podcast.
Yeah.
If we do another podcast, we'll have to consider what other food analogies we could use. Because steak would be good.
I'm sure that would be a great one.
Anyway, there's a blog out there. Somebody did. I don't want to tell you who it is because it's not worth sending it to. It's a big fight going on in Calvary Chapel between those who want to involve themselves in contemplative spirituality.
Oh, no. What's that? You think?
Contemplative spirituality. I'll give you the definition of contemplative spirituality in a moment. It's you won't believe it. We're accused of being it.
Oh, we are?
Not in this blog. Other places.
Okay.
It's people who read and think about things that are done by... At one point, they define this as really hilarious. This is the most hilarious definition of the thing. I don't know if I can find it now. Because it tied a bunch of things together. It talked about the contemplative, emergent, purpose-driven movement. And I was like...
Wait a minute. That's like military intelligence.
The contemplative...
Emergent, purpose-driven?
There's a lot of contemplative in the emergent. That's probably true.
But purpose-driven? Sorry.
What?
I know those guys, too. I don't think so.
You can't be contemplative and be purpose-driven.
No.
That would just not work. Well, this is from the same group of people that called me a pantheist.
Oh, good.
So I thought it would be interesting to see it. Here's the definition from Wikipedia, which means some of us need to get on there and change the definition. Because contemplative spirituality to me...
Is that a bad thing?
If you use this definition of it,
okay.
It would be.
Lay it on me, bro.
Because what I would think of contemplative spirituality is...
You're thoughtful.
You're eating the cookie, not just reading the recipe. Okay?
Yeah, I would think that, gosh, you're engaging in this.
Contemplative spirituality is I'm discovering Jesus in me, which is what he said the whole purpose of the gospel was for. My Father and I will not leave you as orphans. We will come and live in you. But here's the Wikipedia definition of contemplative spirituality. A belief system that uses ancient mystical practices to induce altered states of consciousness and is often wrapped in Christian terminology. The premise of contemplative spirituality is pantheistic. God is all. And panentheistic. I didn't know there was two words. Panentheistic is God is in all. The purpose of contemplative prayer is to enter an altered state of consciousness in order to find one's true self, thus finding God. Now, I don't know of any of the desert fathers they're referring to, any of the people on my reading list.
The peyote smoking ones.
That would buy this definition of contemplative spirituality.
Well, yeah, they just ruined it.
It goes on by saying contemplative prayer refers to repetitive chanting. I don't do that. Breathing in a controlled manner.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't do that. Silent concentration to quiet the thoughts and feelings to commune with God. I don't do that. Infused contemplation.
No, there's a quicker way to get to that altered state of consciousness.
Yeah?
If you had more cookies.
Two didn't alter your consciousness.
No, they did. I'm just saying you get there.
You want more.
Yeah.
Infused contemplation for many writers, including St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila, both demonic Catholic mystics.
Oh.
There you go.
St. John's demonic.
The sole sense of the term.
Wow.
You know, when I was reading through this, and there's a big fight going on in Calvary Chapel.
Is anyone alive that knew them?
No, but a lot of people. Have you read their stuff?
I've
read their stuff. I think their stuff's fabulous, but I don't think they believe this, what's being ascribed to them.
No, and the reality.
More that they're demonic Catholic.
If you knew them, it's like maybe you could actually give an opinion, but how do you give an opinion about a somebody based upon just words on paper? If all was that, it's like, you know what? That isn't the sum of that individual. Just as the recipe is not the same as the cookie.
Yeah, and when you reduce somebody's life to a label, this is probably where I really want to drill down a little bit. I remember doing a workshop for a Methodist pastoral staff. This is probably 18 years ago. No, it's probably 14 years ago. And I'd come into staff retreat for them. We talked about He Loves Me. They've been reading the book. And we talked to, and the people in the group are really engaging for the most part. The senior pastor, which he's the one that invited me and was a good friend of mine, but didn't seem to be engaging in all that much. And so at the end of it, 3 days or 2.5 days of working through He Loves Me and the cross and some of that kind of stuff, he summed it all up this way. So you're just an existentialist.
Yeah, if you can label it, you can dismiss it.
And that's exactly how it felt. And you could see other people in the room just,
all the air went out.
So I thought this was like revelation that might be shaping my life in a wonderful way. But now I find out it's just existentialism.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want it. And whatever
and
that
is.
I don't need it.
Existing outside oneself?
Yeah. When the reason I'm saying all that is not because I want to defend myself against not being a pantheist. Because if you want to call me a pantheist, really, go right ahead. Because the fact that it's not true really mitigates my caring a whole lot. But I read this because people in this outside-the-box journey, we do it too. Every time I hear those who are in the IC, the institutional church, is that same dismissive language.
Right.
When we talk about, I mean, we talk about thinking outside the box, but thinking outside the box is not thinking
ill
of people inside the box.
It is not an address either.
No, it isn't.
It's a system of thought.
It's just a way to say, gosh, maybe this whole gospel is bigger than the recipe. Maybe there's actually some cookies to eat.
It's actually found in a person with whom you can have a genuine friendship.
And this goes back to your favorite verse. I think you've used it 7 times in the last 4 months on the podcast about you search the scriptures to think in them you find life, but the life's in me. I think the scripture keeps coming back that the life of God is in the reality of the Son. The life of God is not in the scriptures. The life of God isn't even in the church, even outside the box definitions of church.
Yeah,
the life is in the Son. And what if we're going to have an effective community together, we're going to share the Son. We're going to get together Sarah brought 2 plates out of which we could eat these cookies.
Right.
These cookies never found those plates.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what those were for.
I didn't even see them till now. I'm going, she brought us plates so we didn't have to eat off the same one. But dang, we did.
We were sharing.
And now we're licking the chocolate bits off the plate that remain. No, here's where I think we get so, we miss being able to love everyone around us because we're so dismissive with labels. Even if it's atheist, agnostic, believer, evangelical believer, leftist believer, red letter Christian.
I don't even know there's
term.
Such a thing as an unbeliever if they do believe nothing. I guarantee you, they believe something.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, but the whole idea of labeling something, the emergent, I don't tell how many times I'm accused of being emergent. And I go, I'm not emergent. There's a whole lot the emergents are.
I'm always emerging.
Sorting out theologically. That I go, I love the questions they're asking. I love many brothers and sisters that are in that whole thing. But from the moment it went from we're brothers and sisters on a journey to we are the emergent movement is where I lose it.
Yeah, that's where I just exit stage left going like, guess what? We might have some things in common, but I'm not doing an it. I'm following a him.
I knew they were emerging before they became an it. And when it became an it, I became less excited about referring people to it. The same's true of the house church movement.
It's the same of every it.
Every movement, which belongs in a back room. That's my point about movement.
Yeah. And don't step in an it.
No. Don't shoot on people, because that's the same thing. No, I just, when I read this article, or and I read the one about me, which is not that big a deal. Somebody tried to defend me about it, which is never wise. Somebody actually tried to defend me on my own website. You remember, this is an old podcast, years ago, I got the Heretic of the Year Award.
Oh, from, yeah, I was so proud of you.
From some guy. It's just one guy wrote this humorous thing. Well, somebody saw it on my blog recently, not realizing it was on my blog, and they wrote this, you have no idea who Wayne Jacobson is, and they did a comment section on it that came to me.
God bless their desire to
it was funny.
Support you.
2 minutes later, they realized they were on my blog, and they wrote back a thing going, I feel like a total idiot. Now I realize you were sharing this because you thought it was hilarious. And I wasn't really Heretic of the Year. I am passionate. See, what I don't like about this kind of labeling, you and I are both very passionate people for the truth that's in Jesus Christ. We are.
Yeah, and we do not have a complete, entire grasp on what that is.
We don't. But we are on a journey we wouldn't trade for anything.
We
did the recipe thing. I remember studying the recipe, parsing it in the Greek every week, talking about it.
Yeah, I can do the recipe in Greek and Hebrew.
And if you don't like the cookie analogy, that's like a golf analogy. We all get together every week, and we talk about golf. But we don't ever take golf clubs and go out to a course and actually hit the freaking ball. That's what's just dumbfounding to me. And when as we talked about a couple of weeks ago in the podcast we did a long time ago about the fragrance of Father, you know, people who are on this, when I don't have to read two paragraphs of what this lady was trying to say. She takes down Gail Irwin for she quotes his endorsement for the shack, saying it proves that he's no longer worthy to be part of Calvary Chapel because he's
an
emergent pantheist, demonic Catholic mystic.
Well, at least I know what we are now.
No, we don't. Not by that. I hurt when I see it in the mouths of people who aim it at folks who are learning to be free and learning to find life in Christ. I think some get dissuaded by this. And I hurt when I hear people like us who use that language, whether it's to describe people who believe in penal substitution, for instance, just throwing a term around, labeling somebody so you don't have to deal with them as a person. You deal with them as a label. That's what I hated most, even when I could say, you know, where do you go to church on Sunday morning? I go to Savior's Community or somebody says they go to a Vineyard church. Already you felt like you knew a whole lot about them.
Because you may not at all.
No, you don't, but you can put a Baptist in a box. You can put a Methodist in a box. You can put a Presbyterian in a box and not realize. I have met so many Presbyterians in my life, none of them would fit in a Presbyterian box. They think differently, live differently. Some are amazingly on this journey. Some are really stuck in a religious trap at points. But you know what? We're all greater than the sum of our little parts. You can put all our theologically. And I think that's probably truest of God. I've got a systematic theology book that's 897 pages of 8-point type trying to describe God. And you get to the end of it going, but he's so much better than this.
He's not defined by this ink and paper.
And it's not that any of it isn't true. I guess it was G.K. Chesterton who said, by the time you pin the butterfly to the styrofoam, it has ceased to be a butterfly. And that's why when people try to even get me at times when I'm talking and getting questions, can you give me the 4 things of this or the 6 steps to that or the, and I'm going, I couldn't. No list I give you isn't going to cheapen the very thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you cannot have a discussion that looks at that, but it needs to be framed as there is not a definitive period at the end of this sentence. As if I've got it all figured out.
Yeah. But if we keep talking about him, pointing out certain features of him, helping people catch a fragrance of him, giving them a taste of him. I tell you, once you've had a taste of these cookies, you're good for a long time. Yeah. You're going to go, oh, I remember what that tastes like. Next time you bite into a Chips Ahoy, you're going,
okay,
I'm on the road, I'm hungry, it's an airport, I'll eat a Chips Ahoy, but you know what? I really can't wait to get home and have Sarah do a batch of these.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. I think you got the same email. There was somebody that, you know, kind of reacted to our
I'm behind on emails. So.
Ultimate Reconciliation podcast.
Oh, I have that one with me, as a matter of fact.
It was so interesting to have them sort of parse out, almost like they were inviting a polemical debate about, you know, but what about this? What about that? What about, you know, it's like they're sort of outlining their whole position as if at the end of it, it's like, see? Don't you draw the same conclusions I do? And I kind of wrote back going like, yeah, I'd be happy to dialogue with you about it. I mean, I think I got, you know, even got a phone call that I got a schedule with these people. But you sit there going...
These people?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a label.
I say, with the authors of the email.
Authors? There's more than one?
I think so.
Mine came from one guy.
Oh, I got it from a lady.
You're going to talk to them?
The same people.
Really?
Yes, it's two of them. And,
so,
and the reality...
So there's confirmation.
Yes.
From two different people.
But if I look at that, it's like... The reason I invited a phone conversation is because, you know what? I don't want to spend endless hours in some little argumentative trying to prove your point when it's like, you know what? My main point is I don't know. I don't need to defend that.
Hold on. I'm still stuck on something. You read an email?
I did.
You answered an email?
I did.
You've invited a phone conversation?
I did. But I'm not doing it again.
I did do it. I couldn't be more dumbfounded.
I know. See, you don't know me.
I don't.
I did.
I don't. Everybody knows you as the bankrupt, the mailbox bankrupt
and
guy.
It happens often. But if you catch me in that in-between moment when all of a sudden it's like, well, what the heck?
And tick you off just enough?
Yeah. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I'll get a whole different genre
there we
of
go.
Emails. Wow.
Send those to Brad.
Yeah, now you get a response from him. Poke him right there in the ribs.
The bear and the stick analogy will work for you here.
There you go. But the reality is I looked at that, and I just kind of went, okay, I believe these people are sincere, and they're struggling to come to grips with something. And I was like, you know what? So much of what they present, I'm going, yeah, I do know that aspect of him. But you want to share some of what we had talked about with this?
I don't know. We're kind of running out of time, and I've got to finish my vacation today before I go home. Let me just read a little bit of it. It says, let's have an out-of-the-box conversation. God's goal is to restore everything back to him is what I hear. It's in the Bible, right, somewhere? So it tells me somebody's really deeply read.
Sure.
It does say God will reconcile all things to himself. Wouldn't it be a failure then if he didn't accomplish that goal? As in, some will be in hell forever. I believe that we have limited free will. I believe God is going to get you. He's going to pursue you for as long as it takes. Look at the prodigal. Look at the lost sheep story. He wouldn't give up on any son or daughter, see them tortured forever. And then he gets to the crux of it toward the end where he says, and he wants to invite some feedback. Maybe that's what worked for you. Am I crazy to believe that hell is that there is a hell and it's not forever? Let's say you have a grandpa that you think, gee, I don't know if he was saved. So that means he might be in hell. That sucks. Means you will not see him again. Means that you're going to be he's going to be there forever. Does that make us happy if we love this grandpa? No, it's mean and sad. Doesn't sound like our perfect no darkness in him God. I believe we will see that grandpa in heaven. Okay, he might go to hell for an age. I just think that's really it'd be funny. An age. That's like a few thousand years.
Sure.
So I'm much happier if grandpa's in hell for an age.
A couple thousand years.
Yeah. And hell will be this purification, and he will freely choose God in that age and get out of hell. It's been done before. People got out of hell before, right? I read this going, you know, here's where I am on the, and I can't speak for him. I realize if most people believed truly in their hearts what they say they believe about hell, they wouldn't get through any day knowing how many of their ancestors and friends are rotting in hell to this day because they didn't jump through the hoops they think are essential for the hoop jumpers to get through. So I don't think we even take it seriously. I've been to funerals of down and dirty pagans, and no one sat there like, oh, this guy's in hell for the rest of eternity. I didn't think people believe that in their head actually live like it's true. My reality is this, and this is what I wrote him back when I wrote him back. I just said, you know what? It sounds to me like you're finding comfort in a doctrine, and I don't. I don't know the truth about how hell sorts out. I think there's a reality, as he's affirming. There's a reality to it. Is it someplace God goes to save people out of again as Jesus led them out of captivity after his death and before the resurrection? I don't have a clue. But my piece about anybody who's dying today or died in the past is that God's love and mercy and justice will win out over time. I trust him to deal honorably and graciously, and all this age will sum up exactly the way this God wants it to, and I don't have a clue what that is. Knowing him, my heart is set at ease.
Yeah, you had such a perfect way of looking at it. Our trust is in a person. It's not comfort found in a doctrine. Because I don't know if the doctrine that they derive is true. I'm going, like, you know what? It'd be a nice thought. God bless Grandpa. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy to not think that there are any consequences to a possible rejection. But I end up going like, the struggle I have is, I don't see that God is going to get you. Yeah. As if you don't have a love response that he allows you to have the freedom to have. Because I think the love means something.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's an issue of, well, who's in power? Who's, you know, are you saying God is not ultimately something? It's like, you know what? It's not even any of that. I think there's a real relationship here that is valued above perhaps all these other little doctrine things.
Yeah.
That you're just going like, you know what? If people bit into that cookie, they wouldn't be arguing about the lack of cookies.
And whatever the scripture means that says God will reconcile all things to himself will be fulfilled.
Yeah.
I'm just not confident enough that I can stand and say, this is what that means. It will look like
definitively in all its outworkings.
Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Christ and Lord and God of all. That's true.
Yes.
In what context that happens,
how it unfolds,
who's the demeanor of the people doing that? Is it just a resigned, doggone he really was? Or is it, oh my gosh, he is, and we get to know him? I don't know. I trust this God will be incredibly just and loving when it's all summed up. And it will work out exactly the way he's wanted it to work out.
See, and I think the more you're focusing on the actual relationship with a person I am coming to know, And that knowledge deepens, the more my security and the less need I have to argue through these things. Not because I can't make – the problem is I can make positions on both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
When I'm able to do that, I end up going like, there's something bigger there than just how do I parse this side or argue that side. I think I've got a person in whom those things make ultimate sense. I don't know that I can make ultimate sense of them apart from him.
And I understand the intellectual curiosity about these things. I really do.
That's wonderful. Nothing wrong with
but
that.
But when I read Timothy and Titus and Paul's writing to them about not giving in to speculations and controversies, that's where I back up and say, when I'm here in this space, how do we determine ultimate reconciliation or penal substitution versus the curative atonement or whatever? I'm not waking up this morning saying, God, how do I love Sarah together today? How do I love the person that comes across my path today? How do I know you today and live more free of Wayne's own selfish ambition? I find when I'm in this space, my relationship with God can get very distant. I can live in this space without him. I can't live in the space of just walking through this day with the people I'm around and the challenges that exist in my own twisted nature that God's still untwisting. I would so much rather live in that.
And,
so much.
And when you're in that space with the Lord, it's not very easy to be just dismissive of other people. I mean, that's how I answered an email, you know?
Yep.
Because that's actually with him or something like that. The whole dynamic is, I think, when you major in those things, that I would have to say, in comparison to a trust that is one, where he loves me to a place of I've got a secure comfort and going, you know what, however that sorts itself out, I might have my opinions on that, but I'm going to submit them to him as a person and say, I trust the outworking of that is going to be right.
And I don't have any hope that today or tomorrow or next year I'm going to figure it out. I just don't have any hope that I will. So I'm very content not to. I'm very content to eat the cookies, study the recipe. Boy, we keep the recipe around. Sarah pulls it out when she makes them. We go down the recipe. I love the recipe. I love the cookies more. And we can sit here and keep podcasting. We could go downstairs and have another cookie, I'm sure.
Decisions made.
So we're out of here. Hey, we want to remind you, we are taking some money for the folks in Kenya. And if you have some money to share, we're joking about chocolate chip cookies. They don't even have enough corn to eat tonight to feed their kids and all. So that's not a big heavy duty. We realize a lot of people in this culture and time, you don't have a dime to send to them, and that's great. But if you do, if you got some money and you want to send it Kenya's way, let us know. We'll put it there. We've sent a good bit to them and some coming over the last few weeks, so we're really grateful for that. Thanks a ton.
Thank you for traveling with us God Journey, you can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.